Oh, I know that noise. I know that song. I know those horns. This can only mean one thing. Da 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 da. That we've got Paul Preston on the phone.
Hello.
From themovieguys.net. Absolutely.
I love you. I know this song. Oh, you know royalty-free Hooray for Hollywood ripoff?
I do. I do. It's wonderful.
I think that's the actual title.
It is. I think it might be.
Let's hear it for Tinseltown.
Yeah.
Let's hear it for Tinseltown. It goes just off enough, yep. You know? Yeah. The Simpsons were brilliant at that, by the way. Every spoof they did, they'd just go into a minor chord right when they were about to talk, you know, make it sound exactly like the original song. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
Well, Paul, how are you, brother?
Well, first of all, here's what you do. 5 words. Circus of the NFL stars. That's it.
Yes.
I love it.
I think we all want to see Derrick Henry on a tightrope. Be fun.
Yeah, why not? Why not? You know, I mean, we can even get the geriatric club in there. You know, these guys that are like in wheelchairs.
Oh, Barry
and stuff.
Sanders.
Barry Sanders.
Yeah,
you know,
the Flying Watt Brothers.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Sign me up.
Oh, I love it. That sounds good. Produce it, Paul. Produce it.
All right, done.
All right, my friend. What movie should we go out and see?
Oh, listen, for it's your birthday, right? Or around this time?
Yeah.
All right, so I bring you nothing but good stuff to go and see.
All right.
I don't like the crap on movies anyway. If a movie isn't great, I probably just won't talk about it. It's easier, unless they really spent a bazillion dollars and really did a whole bunch of egregious things wrong.
Or it's
but
Marvel.
Right now, I'm all about Moon Age Daydream. Do you know this film?
No.
Oh, okay. Moon Age Daydream, of course, is a David Bowie song from many moons ago. And Moon Age Daydream is this giant of a film about Bowie. Is it music video? Is it concert film? Is it a lecture? Is it a documentary? All those things, a whole new thing? Yes. This is basically an experience. And that's no surprise when, of course, you realize this is about David Bowie, who didn't just like do a thing and it was simple and easy to digest. He was a complicated guy. And the director, Brett Morgan, made this film. He made, if you saw The Kid Stays in the Picture, the legendary Robert Evans movie, or the documentary about Kurt Cobain, Montage of Heck, he made this. And it totally just feels like a piece of art that Bowie would have made. And it's out there now in IMAX. And if you get to see it in IMAX, you're talking about 3 stories tall Bowie. The audio is out of this world. Brett Morgan apparently spent months mixing it, years cutting it, and he's the real deal. Like, there's unfortunately a sad part of documentary filmmaking nowadays where filmmakers are kind of more concerned with their brand than their art. So for a guy like Brett Morgan to like pick up this project, start it, and run it right through to the finish line, passionate, right, there's a whole story in I don't know if it was Variety or one of those. He had a heart attack making this. He's like, and he feels Bowie guided him through completing it. I mean, that's a guy that's like, yes. I always say Raiders of the Lost Ark is my favorite movie. They got dysentery, for the love of God. They went to the desert. They weren't on a green screen. You know, like, this dude worked for Moon Age Daydream, and so for that, you have to go and see it. And it's the first film to work in conjunction with Bowie's estate, so there's tons of never-before-seen stuff.
Oh, wow.
And it's all just mixed together in this incredible interviews, concert footage, random shots of whatever with dialogue, backstage stuff, Bowie filming himself that I don't know why he would do it, but now it works in this film to like when Morgan pairs it with an interview that's rare and never seen before. Like, it's a cinematic experience, and no hyperbole, changes your idea of what a movie can be.
Wow.
Because it tries to be something so differently and succeeds so well. You're just like, this is like the thing I've never seen. And if you just like rock and roll, again, the audio in the cinema is stupid good. Oh, so, wow. And in the end, I mean, Bowie comes off very likable as well. You know, he actually comes off like an optimist and real artist. And it covers everything. Gender-bending star man, 80s comeback, 90s Trent Reznor era.
Ooh, wow.
If I never saw Bowie in concert. Sean, you ever see Bowie?
Yes, I did. I actually got to go to the Size and Sound tour.
Ooh.
Jealous.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was amazing. And that was at the old L.A. Sports Arena, when the Sports Arena existed. Mm. So, yeah, I actually got to see him live once. And, oh, absolutely amazing show.
Wow.
Well, if you want to see him live again, the best shot you have is this movie. And so I feel like I saw a concert. I saw something, and whatever it was, it just blows your mind. It's
nice.
Great.
Nice.
Cool. And right. I think it's a limited time in IMAX. Might stay in theaters a little longer. Because so much stuff is coming out and piling into the IMAX. Like, you know, I think Don't Worry Darling was taking up some of that. Some of the Avatar 3D was taking up some of the IMAX. So it may only be one screening here and there, but if you get the chance, that is a top-notch recommendation from me.
Ooh. All right, what's next, Paul?
Well, on the other end of the spectrum, there's a movie called See How They Run, which has been number one in London for quite some time. And it's here, and it's doing pretty well, you know, for a tiny film that it is. Do you like your Agatha Christie movies, right? Like your Murder on the Orient Express, Death on the Nile? Mm-hmm. Combine that with silly farce, and this is for you. And that's kind of the deal. Like Kenneth Branagh's been bringing us the serious Agatha Christie. This is an original story about the mousetrap, which, if you don't know, besides a brief COVID shutdown, has been running in London since 1952. It's the longest running play like ever. It never stops running. It's a big murder mystery from Agatha Christie. And this film takes place in the 50s, where they're going to make a movie in the movie of the mousetrap until someone involved in the movie is murdered. And then, of course, the police types come in to investigate. You have a world-weary Inspector Stoppard. That's the Wikipedia's description, by the way, world-weary. And he totally is that. And then Constable Stalker, who is his opposite, the buttoned-up, tight-by-the-books, and adorable, sort of second to Stoppard. And these two are played by Sam Rockwell and Saoirse Ronan. So that should get you to the theater right there,
yeah,
right?
Sam Rockwell. I love Sam Rockwell.
Right? He's one of these great guys who just – he underplays all the comedy. Mm-hmm. And he's like a discovery in every movie. You go, oh, Sam Rockwell's on this. That'll be cool. And then when you sit down in front of Sam Rockwell, you go, why wasn't I more excited to see Sam Rockwell? Like, he said, man, I forgot how good he was going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he's great in this. Very funny, just kind of like a he's seen everything. So he kind of half-asses his way through this and is still kind of a brilliant detective. Yeah.
Is this one kind of like similar to, let's say, Murder by Death?
Oh, man, I saw Murder by Death when I was way too young, but I think so. Alan Arkin, right?
And
kind of. It kind of, the plot kind of folds in on itself. There's tons of theater references. The movie's actually a little meta. Okay. The way it's practically winking with a lot of the jokes that it makes about Inspector Stoppard, first of all, you know, Tom Stoppard, of course, has written a number of great, and as other actors having fun here, Adrian Brody looks loose and charming.
Oh, wow.
And a scumbag, you know, he's very sly in this. David Oyelowo shows up, never a bad thing. And the mystery that it tells overall, the mystery within the mystery, ain't bad either. And the ending is fantastic. That's awesome. The good thing. It's like you're laughing, you're having fun, and then by the end you're like, oh, this is a really satisfying ending. So
very cool. Very cool. All right, what's next, Paul?
Well, I can at least talk briefly about Barbarian. If you haven't seen it yet, it wasn't what I thought it would be, for all the right reasons. I heard it opened number one at the box office. I heard it was about an evil Airbnb, and I heard there are things you shouldn't know about it before you go in. That's almost all true. It's more complicated than evil Airbnb, and that's, of course, to the film's credit. There's a girl who goes to Detroit for a job interview, stays in an Airbnb, already scary.
Yeah, Detroit. I mean, good God, who wants to go to Detroit?
She shows up at the Airbnb, somebody's there already. Oh, but they got, you know, a man, so uncomfortable. They try and figure out why the place is double booked. Then it gets weird in ways you won't predict, and I won't tell you. But it jumps to L.A. at one point. Justin Long is an actor dealing with his own drama. He gets weaved into the whole story. It's just constantly surprising, the jumps and changes that it makes. The dialogue is concise and interesting. The characters talk, you know, in a way that you're fascinated, even if they're not doing horror at the moment, which is good for a horror movie, even if they're just having, like, people talk. Mm-hmm. Like, I could watch this all day. And then you're like, oh, wait, there's going to be horror here. And sure enough, when the horror comes, it's good. A lot of the comedy's character based. Justin Long is especially funny in the way he reacts to a lot of the horror, but it doesn't like take away from the stakes. Like, it's still scary, but he acts sort of real about it. He plays like a dude bro, which for me is new for Justin Long. He's such a likable guy in a lot of comedies and stuff. But that's different. This was a different role for him. It sat well on him. I like when people take a risk and they do something. So anyway, Zach Cregger is your director. I won't say anything else about the movie, but I think he's going to be one of the next big horror directors if he keeps at it. And when I saw it, I mean, if you want people to shut the hell up at your party or your dinner or whatever, put in Barbarian, because everybody was just glued to the screen. No phones, no talking, no nothing. That means the movie's working. So.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's great. That's great. Real quick, Paul, before we go, have you had a chance to catch up on any of the stuff that's been released for streaming, like Cobra Kai or the new Star Wars or anything like that? Or
I'm all caught up on Andor. Apparently, all hell broke loose in the last episode of Rings of Power, but it just came out yesterday, and I haven't had a chance yet. Andor's been pretty good. You know, I do miss Star Wars being movies. There are zero films on the schedule for Star Wars. It's all TV, and unfortunately that's sort of small and lacks the grand scope I thought the films had, the original films. So Andor's okay. I like Tony Gilroy. He's plotting it well, a little slow at sometimes. Like, there's a whole episode where a guy's just going to come buy a thing, and you're like, all right.
Hurry up, yeah. Buy it. It's on sale.
Okay. Well, Rings of Power is doing the same thing. One episode ended with, like, we're going to go fight in Middle Earth. Hey! And then at the end of the next episode, they're going, we're off to fight Middle Earth. I said, what do we do for the last hour? I guess you trained or whatever. Yeah. So maybe I like tight pacing of a movie, but, you know. Sometimes it's to a benefit that you can take your time, but also sometimes I go, hey, this is just TV. I just want a Star Wars movie. That's all.
Yeah. No,
Cobra Kai. I've seen half the new season of Cobra Kai. It's the worst it's ever been. I can't stop watching. I will not stop watching that show.
Oh, my God. I loved Cobra Kai. I thought it was so good. I mean,
yeah, I like Johnny.
Yeah. And then to see, oh, God, what's his name? Mike Barnes. Come back.
Yes. Like, you know, the last episode I saw was, his, the one where he came back. So I don't know if he sticks around or what goes on, but I will watch the whole thing. It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. I won't spoil it for you, but yeah, he does kind of, but I do wish that there was a little bit more of him though, but he does come back again though.
It's amazing how these guys come back and they're actually pretty good. And you go,
it's wonderful.
Where's this guy been? Like, I think Thomas Ian Griffith is really good as Terry Silver.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it makes me think, where's he been as a smarmy bad guy? He should be a bad guy in, like, a movie every other year or something. Mm. I thought he's funny. He's tall. He looks good. He comes himself in decent shape. You know, and I just wish we'd see more of him. That's what that show is all about, because I originally thought that about William Zabka. I said, why isn't this guy, like, playing an asshole cop in some show or something?
Yeah.
You know, like, he's really good, and you feel like that you got kind of the raw deal of not having him around in a substantial role for a long time. And they keep bringing back people, and they keep doing it. Like, I'd watch whoever plays the bad boy of karate. Sean, is that his name? Sean, I can't remember his name. Whoever plays Mike Barnes, I'd like to see more of him. He's good.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that they brought back, including the Daniel's third romance in the third film, they brought her back for that one episode. I don't know if you've seen that yet or not.
I have not. Oh. But I'd love to double down on Karate Kid 3, too. Like, they could easily go, whoa, oops, we made that. But instead, like Marvel, they go back, and even the movies that were meh, like Incredible Hulk and Thor: The Dark World, they make them important. And I like that.
Has Hilary Swank shown up yet?
No, and they're talking about that for season 6.
Oh, boy.
They are talking about that.
Wow.
So they said it's going to change everything.
I bet.
So, but okay. And so I won't spoil the rest of it for you, but the love interest in the third film does come back, and it's very interesting on how they do it, though.
Yeah, because that was a rough thing for him, right? Like, she left in the movie, right?
Just about, yeah.
She skipped town, yeah. On him.
So,
and then season 7, Pat Morita. So that's exciting.
The ghost of Miyagi.
CGI.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not? You know what? I think someone's going to sit in that writer room and go, why not? Right? CGI, let's do it.
Awesome. Paul, thank you so much, brother. We're going to check those movies out, even those the three you mentioned. I'm definitely going to go see that. The Bowie one, that's
that Bowie
really,
one
really
is
good.
Awesome, dude. Yeah.
I can't wait. I want to see that in IMAX because it's going to sound
and
be amazing.
I'll only spend a sentence on it, but Avatar in 3D is worth seeing because if you're sitting there going, I don't know about the new movie, this will revigorate your interest. It is, I mean, Avatar is an amazing accomplishment, and underestimate James Cameron at your own peril.
Got it. Will do.
What about the new Hocus Pocus movie?
Hey, is that on Disney Plus today?
I'm sorry, you guys are breaking up.
We lost him. We lost him.
Damn.
Canceled.
It's one of those, he just doesn't talk about him, right?
Yeah.
No, I actually never saw that movie until the pandemic. And I was like, I got to see some stuff I've never seen before that kind of puts me on the movie jail list.
You never saw the original?
Hocus Pocus. Yeah, that's right. And so I finally saw it, wow. And I went, eh. Doesn't it end on like a dick joke or something? It's a very weird movie.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, or a fart joke or something. Like,
and I think that's
weird.
How Hocus Pocus 2 actually starts.
Is on a dick joke.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little too broad and weird for me. Like, it wasn't quite my jam. Although I'll watch Doug Jones in anything.
So. All right, Paul. Thank you so much, brother. We'll talk to you later on in the month, man.
Farewell.
All right, buddy. Take care. Have a good one.